Welcome to the Roseburg Podcast. My name is Sarah Rowe, and I'm here with my co-host, Tony Sangelosi.
Good job, Sarah Rowe, with the last name. Two, how are you this evening?
I'm good. I'm glad that I'm saying your last name correctly now. I have a Kentucky mush mouth, as you know, and it's hard. I have to move my lips a lot to say your last name. And
is that what you call it?
Move my lips a lot?
Yeah.
Or my mush mouth?
Inaugural.
Oh, yeah, I can't say inaugural enough. Inaugural.
Hey,
inaugural.
So as much as I want to hear about your week, listen, this, and I don't mean to just jump the gun here, but I've been so excited about this guest that we're having on today. It was supposed
I'm going to start doing something new, and I want to tell people why our guests are worthy to be on this podcast, why I
chose them, huh?
Yeah. So today in our podcast is Becca Garris. And the reason I think she's worthy to be in our podcast is not only is she a badass hunter, mother, wife, she is an inspiration to so many people. Like, she inspired me to hunt with my toddler on my back. I always envisioned hunting with my child, but I didn't know just how involved it could be and how amazing it could be. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Becca Garris. Hi, how are you?
Welcome.
Good, how are you?
Thank you for that.
You want to talk about grand entrance there, huh?
I thought it would kind of amp the guest up a little bit and amp the people up. Like, this is why they are worthy to be on here, because they are awesome.
And I like that. Hey, so before we get into this, how did you two meet? Sarah, how did you connect with Becca?
I found her. I was pregnant and was like, you know, I'm going to hunt. I hunted all through my pregnancy.
Yeah.
I was 9 months. I actually went to labor tracking a deer. my husband got a buck the second to last day of the season. And I tracked the deer through 2 feet of snow for like 2 miles. And then 1 a.m. rode around and I was like, if this doesn't break my water, nothing will. And then boom.
Sure enough.
But she hunts with her daughter. Her daughter's name is Isabella. She's a better bow hunter than I am at this point. She shoots every day with her mom. Like, Becca takes her daughter hunting in some capacity every day. They're either hunting for fish, hunting for tomatoes, hunting for deer, hunting for rabbits. Like, every day this chick's outside. Like, I've never seen someone have so much like just tenacity to get out there and freaking do it.
Heck,
that's
yeah.
How I found her, because she's got some gumption that I noticed and I liked.
Yeah. So Becca, tell us a little bit about like how did this become? Did you hunt as a kid, or how did hunting consume you?
I did. My dad was a big hunter. So he grew up as a kid, he started hunting, and then he hunted all through his adult life. And then when he had kids, I have 5 brothers and 3 sisters. I was the first girl.
Big family.
Nice.
Yeah. Very big, very big family, but I was the first girl. And, I took to hunting like better than all of my brothers did. I just loved
it. That's awesome.
And so like, I was my dad's hunting buddy. Like, my brothers and sisters did hunt too, but not like I did. And I've just hunted ever since I was a little kid.
So what was the, what did you first start to hunt? Like, when you were a kid?
The first animal
that
I hunted. The first thing I ever hunted was turkeys, as my birthday was right before turkey season.
I grew up
in New Jersey, where you have to be 10 years old to legally get a hunting license.
Really?
So like, I turned 10 one day, and a couple days later,
turkey season.
I was hunting turkey. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Welcome to double digits. Here's your bird.
That's awesome. Can you tell us about a memorable hunt when you were a kid with your dad?
It's funny. This is always the one that comes to mind when people ask that. And I think I've written about this in a couple articles, but it was the first year I was hunting, and it was getting towards the end of the season. And in New Jersey, it's kind of weird because you have your seasons are broken up into weeks, so separate weeks. So you have to buy a different permit for every week. It's very weird.
Yeah.
So you get 5 days because the weekends don't count. That's a separate permit. So we were getting toward, it's really weird. It was getting towards the end of the week, and we hadn't gotten anything. And the sun was coming up, and we were walking through the woods, and it was just getting light enough to see. And we see this gobbler roosted in a tree, like right there. It was right there. We could have shot it. And my dad was like, "Oh, do you want to shoot it?" And I knew it was a test, like in the back of my mind. Like, I obviously wanted to shoot it. I was 10 years old. I'd never shot anything. But I said, "No, I don't want to shoot it," because I remembered in my hunter safety book, you know, you're not supposed to shoot
that. Yeah, roosted.
And I know in some states it's not legal. And I think that maybe, I don't know if it was legal. I'm assuming it was. I don't know. I didn't do it.
Shoot them in their bed.
Doesn't really matter. But that just always kind of stuck with me.
Sure. That's awesome. How did you, what kind of weapon were you hunting with when you were a kid? Was it a trad then?
No, it was a shotgun. I didn't start bow hunting until I was 16, and then I didn't start hunting with a traditional bow until I was 26.
Nice. So you did shoot a compound?
Yeah, I shot a compound.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
I feel like compound bow is like the gateway drug into traditional. Like, I know a lot of people, you know, just start with traditional because, you know, that's how they grew up or whatever. But like, I'm one of the people who started with compound, and I feel like it takes a certain soul to choose, you know, between compound or traditional.
Yeah, it does.
I eventually feel like I'm going to shoot trad. I am just not ready. I feel like, cause I'm like super obsessive when it comes to stuff like this. And I feel like I'll go off the deep end real quick. Seriously.
Open that door.
No, I mean, even Sarah, cause I'll come over and Sarah will be like, "Here, you want to shoot it?" I'm like, no, I don't want to shoot it because I'm afraid that I'm going to absolutely love it. So when you started shooting trad, like what made you, I guess, one, what made you shoot it and what made you stick with it and then just fall in love with it?
So I felt like I wanted something more of a challenge. I'd been bow hunting for 10 years with compound, and I'm not going to say it was like, "Oh, this is so easy," but the actual act of shooting a deer, like making a good shot and all that, it seemed like, "Oh, this is like, it's a whole process. It's pretty simple." And I felt like it was time to challenge myself a little more. And for me, I have a hard time being like, "I'm going to do this and this." It has to be like all or nothing.
Yeah.
For me.
Agree.
So like for the first couple months, I was shooting trad and compound, and I was like, "Oh, well, I'll just keep shooting my compound bow and the traditional bow." And like, I could shoot okay with the traditional bow. And then I was like, "I can't do this." So I just quit the compound completely and just went straight traditional. And that's when I started actually like being able to consistently shoot well. I had to get rid of the compound and like everything in my mind that went with the compound.
Yeah.
I feel like the compound bows are like, they're smarter than me. And I'm like, okay, like if I line all this stuff up correctly and I still have a bad shot, I'm just bad. You know, releasing bad or my doohickey that I'm pulling with is giving me fits or whatever. I love the simplicity of the trad bow. Like there's a stick and a string and I need my anchor, my release.
Up, you know, it's you. Yeah. You can't blame it on the bow. It's all you.
I've seen Sarah.
My sight's off, but your sight's your eyeballs.
Yeah. I've seen Sarah shoot and she said, "I knew it was going to be a bad shot the second that she released it." So I guess you realize that when you shoot trad. I said,
"Oh, do you remember, Becca, when I told you about my ear getting ripped off by my bow?" And I didn't understand what was going on.
Wait, tell a story real quick. Okay, it's
so I shot a bow. So like I'm left-handed, right? So my bow is, my string is here, and I shot it and my opposite ear started ringing real bad. I was like, and it like took me off guard. It felt like I got slapped in my ear, and I was like, "There's no way the string like got over here. Like what? Did something like fly and hit me? Like what the hell is going on?" So I write Becca. She was the most notable traditional bow, and I'm like, "Have you ever had this happen?" She's like, "No, that's just a you problem." I was like, "I don't know." So it turns out, when my hair is down, my dreadlock wrapped around the string of the bow and ripped across my face, and like. I'm surprised. I almost got Mike Tyson. I tore my ear off.
My name
is Mike Tyson now because it almost bit my ear off.
I wish I was in your brain trying to rationalize what happened.
I got scared. I was like, I went to put my bow back in. I was like,
I don't know what's happening. That's so funny. It's my favorite story ever.
At least you figured out like what it was.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it had me a little shook for a little bit. I didn't know. I was questioning things. I was like, my rooster surely didn't jump up here, and he's always trying to beat me up. So
it's tough. Hey, so Becca, can you explain to me, especially, what the difference is? Like shooting a deer, for example, with a compound, like that feeling versus that feeling when you shoot one with a trad, is there a difference?
There is. Like I just said to Sarah a couple minutes ago, if something goes wrong with the traditional bow, it's you.
Yeah.
Because you don't have any like shooting aids. You don't have a release. You don't have a like a drop away rest. You don't have any pins or anything. It's all you. So if you do awful, then it's you. But if you do great, it's also you. So you have that extra feeling of how amazing it is of making an awesome shot because you're relying on yourself more than you're relying on the bow.
Yeah.
Which with your compound, you're relying, I always felt like I was relying more on my equipment than myself.
Got it. That makes sense.
So for me, that was like the main difference.
Sure. Do you think you get that, you know, I think hunters can understand that feeling internally when you're drawing back on an animal. Is it even more intensified with a trad bow?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And with trad, like, it's a lot closer. For me anyway, I have to have my shots a lot closer. I just don't feel comfortable taking further shots with the traditional bow. I know some people that are comfortable at like 30 yards or whatever.
That's far for a compound bow in the woods, though, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, even with a compound, I never really went crazy with distance. Same. I think the furthest shot I ever took was like 30 yards.
Yep, me too.
But with a traditional, I like them 15 or under. 15 yards or closer.
Are you always hunting from the ground with a trad bow?
No, the first year I started with trad bow, I hunted from a tree stand part of the time and then from the ground part of the time. I've never actually shot anything from a tree stand with a trad bow, but that was partly because the same year I started, like it was right after I started hunting with a trad bow, I got pregnant with Isabella. So like being pregnant, I didn't really feel that comfortable in a tree stand.
Sure.
And then after she was born, obviously I couldn't take her into a tree stand with me. So I haven't hunted in a tree stand since 2016.
Gotcha.
It's been a while.
Didn't she just start getting comfortable with like hunting blinds?
Yeah, she hated them. Yeah, for years she hated them.
Yeah. So I remember I tried to take Cash into a hunting blind last year, and it was like she said, it was terrible. It was completely, completely terrible.
It's funny.
I texted her, and she was like, "Yeah, I also had that experience." I'm like,
it's like everybody's so quick to tell you, "Oh, if you have a kid, you don't take him in the blind; they're gonna love it." Well, no, they really don't.
They're in a dark, dark closed,
hot and
like small room. They're
you can't see anything. Like, I mean, maybe it'd be different if you had one of those blinds where you could see like
through a 360.
Yeah. I don't know.
I had it's a,
like there's in a little hate box that they're just
right. No, that's no. You're exactly right. I had a friend. So speaking of hunting from the ground, I had a friend who was telling me last year you got to hunt from the ground. He killed his first deer from the ground, and he said, you know, he got, I think, within 10 yards of this deer, and it was a frontal shot. And he said that there is nothing like being on the ground level with a deer being
there's
that
not.
Close. I've never hunted from the ground personally, but it sounds really fun.
It's a lot of fun. I actually ground hunted quite a bit with a compound.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's what made me want to do it more with trad, because I knew how exciting it was and I knew that I could do it. So that kind of inspired me to just take that leap and just go pretty much all ground hunting for traditional.
Yeah. So strategy.
Did you have this problem? I try to like do a little spot and stalk ground hunting with Cash, and I have my compound bow and I'm walking with it. Right. So like I'm short enough that I can't just let my arm relax down. Like I have to hold it up. Right. And for 2 days, like afterwards, the next day I was like, oh my gosh, my bicep is so like, it's so much more. It's so much nicer walking through the woods with a trad bow, just from a weight standpoint.
Yeah,
the compound bow, you're like, oh, this ain't that bad. And then I try to straighten my elbow out an hour later, and I'm like,
yep.
Well, you picked mine up the other day, and you even said like, oh my gosh, this is so heavy, you know, compared to what you've been shooting.
I'm a trad shooter now, Tony.
Yeah, you forget how heavy they are.
The Rose Bourque Podcast is brought to you by Rose Bourque, where family, farm, and fitness all come first. make sure you join our email list for the most up-to-date exclusive content. The link to this list is in the description. Also, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us a follow, shared our story, and left an honest review. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the podcast.
Your Becca, your strategy, just real quick. I'm curious about this ground hunting because I really want to try it this year. Do you, when you set up on a deer, do you set up for a broadside shot or do you set up for a frontal shot when you're that close?
So I have never actually taken a frontal shot at a deer with a bow. I've only ever done, you know, like quartering away,
sure,
slightly quartering to, or perfectly broadside.
Yeah.
But I kind of just wing it when it comes to ground hunting. I don't, sure, really have a tried and true method. So yeah.
Are you just finding some horizontal cover, like a tree that's down or something like that? Or are, yeah, you like in some weeds or like,
I just kind of take advantage of any natural cover that's in the area. And I tend to hunt areas where I know, like, there will be areas for me to hide behind, like trees, falling down trees or really tall brush and stuff like that. I like to hunt field edges. Like if I know there's going to be deer in that specific area and I've seen them there.
Yeah.
Bedding areas, just feeding areas.
Sure.
But I always try to stay in a place with cover. I don't really like to walk out in the wide open.
Got it. Are you, when you hunt, like, for example, like a bedding area, are you hunting off of that trail that you're seeing them coming in and out on? Like, are you just setting up like perpendicular,
yeah,
to that?
Yeah, usually. Okay. I usually just walk on the deer trails.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. I hunt public land mostly, so it would probably be a little different if I was hunting private land that I knew, like, I was the only one on and I could be a little more careful about scent.
Yeah.
But with, I guess, especially land, with, I don't really feel like it's, yeah, worth the extra effort.
Sure. So I also, I have an Isabella too. And tell me about an advice that you could give to a parent who wants to introduce their child to archery. Like, how do you make, yeah, it? At the beginning I had to make it fun, you know, like, yeah, can you give some advice to the parents who maybe want to give their kids a shot at shooting a bow?
I would say, number one, be very patient. Don't get frustrated at them if they do something wrong.
God, why aren't you hitting that? Are you stupid?
Yeah, exactly. That's just going to ruin it. Yeah. I've seen so many parents do that, and I just feel bad for the kids.
Yeah.
If they get bored, just be done for the day. Like, don't make them keep doing it. Yeah. I know for a lot of parents, it's something that they want their kid to do, and, sure, it's not always something that the kid wants to do right away, and that's kind of important to remember.
Yeah. So I'm in that stage right now where she's a teenager, and I'm not cool, you know? So the last thing that she wants to do is go back hunting with me. I'm hoping that when she gets a little older, she'll come back, but
she did want to shoot my trad bow.
Yeah. She definitely
left
did
before. Yeah. But she was interested in shooting the,
she'll suck me into getting her one. And then I'll have to, no, that's a bad idea. I can see where this is going right now.
I'm like, first one's free. Just shoot a couple arrows.
Yeah.
So, Becca, what was it like your first time hunting with Isabella? Like, how old was she? Like, where did you get? What did you guys do?
So her first, I would say on her first unofficial hunt was just in the backyard hunting rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
When she was born, we lived on 5 acres, a little homestead. So I would just take her in the backyard and we would shoot rabbits and stuff. And she was 6 months old, so she kind of just slept. And then her first official hunt was turkey season, and she was 8 months old, I think. And the same thing, she just kind of slept through it, and it was very uneventful.
How old is she now?
Not very exciting. She's going to be 4 next month.
Nice. I was watching.
The first time I took Cash hunting, we were whitetail hunting, and I was like, all right, I'm just going to – we were at a place where I could just go in this dude's backyard. He had, like – it was right by Hocking Hills. So beautiful. I was like, worst case, I just hike beautiful, yeah, land.
Yeah.
So I have my very heavy compound bow and I'm just walking around and he's not asleep yet. Like, I knew he was going to fall asleep, you know, sooner than later, but he's just like, ooh, ah, you know, just making a bunch of noise. And I walk up to, and this guy had, he's a typical like Midwest hunter, has like bait spots, you know, that he just runs all, yeah, year. So the deer just go there. So he wanted me to, he was like, you need to approach from like on the hill and come down. Well, I came halfway up the hill. I didn't like know the land, so I didn't go all the way up. And I started coming out, and Cash is battle crying, you know, just not like cry, but he's just like yelling, just, you know, just testing his voice out. And I see like 12 deer run away. And I was like, oh no, no, come back. Don't go. And I was thinking, like, they went away and like Cash is yelling at him and the deer kind of looking back. And it was like a super beautiful moment. And I was like, man, if I was hungry right now, that would just, but I wasn't hungry. And I think I'm very lucky. I've never been hunting hungry and seen my food run away. I think that's privilege, you know, right there. But our first time hunting was funny. It was very hilarious.
I watched a video of you guys. You were bow fishing. Have you done that for a while?
Yeah, probably 10-ish years, I want to say.
Yeah.
It's not something that I grew up doing. It was something I started doing as an adult because I found my dad used to do it, and he had a bunch of old bow fishing stuff laying around, and I asked if I could have it. So I just kind of went out there and tried it, and it was really fun. So I just kept on doing it.
It looks super fun. I've never tried it at all.
Yeah.
But that's something, just in case somebody doesn't know, you're just literally walking the shoreline, right, trying to see a shadow and then taking a shot. What's the strategy there? You got to shoot below the shadow or below the fish?
Yeah, you always have to shoot low because the refraction of the water tricks your eyes.
Gotcha.
So it's a little tricky at first, but polarized sunglasses, if you're going in the day, polarized sunglasses can be helpful.
Nice. Sarah, have you ever thought about bow fishing at all?
Yeah, looks kinda cool. When I first got into bow hunting, I lived in Florida. When I got into hardcore, and it was – no, wait. I was told bow fishing was illegal in Ohio by somebody. It's obviously not. Yeah, obviously not. Becca's just, you know, she don't care. Just bring them all online. But it's something I would definitely be down to do. When we hunted hogs in Florida, they had a big bow fishing like boat that you could go on, and you could like bow hunt gators too. Sounds like a terrible idea, but
oh goodness!
I wonder if they told you there are certain areas where it is illegal. I wonder if they just
were saying that and ran with it. Yeah, I don't know. And the last time I went fishing, I was pregnant with Cash, and I got so seasick. So hopefully that's not my normal. I was just pregnant, Sarah. But I was like, I'm weak. Ray's like, we can go back. And I'm like, no, I'm okay. And I'm like, blood vessels are popping on my face. I'm throwing up. I was like, I'm not going to take Dramamine because it's bad for the baby. I don't know. And then by the time I was throwing up, I'm trying to take Dramamine, but I'm just throwing up so much that it's not.
That stuff doesn't really work that great anyway. At least not for me.
Not for me either. I still get sick.
Yeah, I couldn't be helped. I didn't eat hamburgers again for a long time.
For some reason, I only get sick if I can't see, like if I can't see the land for some reason, and you're cruising at a decent speed. I don't know why, but if I can see the land, I don't feel sick. It's really weird. It's like super odd.
So Tony, me and Tony were talking before the podcast, and he had a cool question. And I want to make sure we give proper time to answer it. So what is it like field dressing? Okay, well, so first, this is a little question, so take notes if you need to. What is it like taking an animal for the first time when your child like knows what's happening? And then is it like kind of field dressing a deer?
Great question.
With a child.
Well, it's one of the things I was most nervous about, probably taking her the first time she really was old enough to like understand sort of, she was a little over a year old, and she was actually sleeping when I shot the deer the first time I shot a deer with her, with me. But she saw me field dress it and everything. She was just kind of like,
sorry, people, field dressing, for those that don't know, is when you cut open the deer and take its innards out so you can go eat it later. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. So, and then the second year, like she was old enough, she was a little over two, so she could like talk, and she was like a little more understanding. So like she would ask questions like, oh, what is that and stuff. And I just told her, like, I've never, like, tried to sugarcoat it. I just tell her the truth about everything. And she just accepted it. And I feel like since she has it's just been a part of her life since she was so little, it's just normal for her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she's just always been completely unfazed.
I feel like when you don't make a big deal out of things.
You had a post that you were looking through trail camera photos. And you were like, wow, that one has like some good horns on it. And Isabella looked at you and was like, yeah, that's so much meat. And you were yeah. like, yes. Aww. I got out of like yeah. what this means for a minute. And it was, I think it's awesome that she views all the animals you hunt as meat, like the fish.
She thinks that not only the animals that I hunt are meat, she thinks literally every animal is meat. Like she thinks you can like eat a horse dog and like pretty much anything. And I have to explain to her, like, you know, some animals we don't eat and stuff like that. It's funny.
What's her favorite?
Oh, I love that.
What's she like to eat? What's she like to eat animal wise?
She'll eat pretty much anything. I would say probably venison, and then not really hunting, but she was a big fan. We raised meat birds. She's a big fan of chicken.
Nice.
The chicken that we raised. And she doesn't usually eat chicken, but she loves eating the chicken that we raise. And I feel like it's because she knows in her head that it was the meat that we raised, which is kind of funny.
I feel like that goes back to where like a lot of people, you know, have troubles with their kids being picky eaters, yada, yada. And like, you hear that if you involve them in that process, it becomes yeah. more than just like a taste thing or a yeah. consistency thing. It's a whole, like to involve them makes them want to yep. eat it more. And I think it's cool that you've also had that experience.
Absolutely. This is kind of off topic, but, so like my grandpa, for example, when he was growing up and he did a lot of hunting, they did a lot with dogs, had a hound dog, you know, et cetera. Did your dad ever get into anything with dogs, like bird dogs or anything, or hound dogs?
Not bird dogs, but we grew up with beagle. And rabbit hunting beagles, and I have a beagle now.
Oh, nice.
And it's Isabella's favorite. If you ask her what her favorite hunting is, it's always rabbit hunting, and it's because of the dog. It's because of her dog.
Yeah.
He loves it. It's fun
so
for her.
So do you shoot it, and the dog goes and gets the rabbit, or he chases the rabbits out, and then you shoot
basically,
him?
Basically, yeah, she will go and find the rabbits and flush them out, and then I shoot them. Makes that it a little so easier. Fun.
Does she, yeah, pause, does she pause, like, before she goes in? Or does she just go right in? It's like free for all.
She goes right in, but I can tell by her tail and her bark whether she's on a fresh scent or when she's like right on the rabbit, because she'll usually stop when she's right on the rabbit. And then I have like a split second. The rabbit will come out and stop, and I have to shoot then, because otherwise my dog's going to be right on there. It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does the beagle like catch rabbits? Actually catch them?
She's never actually caught one, but she'll go grab the ones that I shoot. And if they're dead, she will kill them.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I let her, she would probably eat it, but I don't let her.
Roach is great at chasing rabbits, but is crappy. She's never caught a one. She'd probably be a great, you know,
rabbits are really fast.
They are fast.
They are. And my dog's the same thing. So he found a little bunny nest. And there were some casualties. He doesn't eat them. It was like just a chomp, a shake, and then he didn't want anything to do with it. But now that he knows they're there, and there's sometimes rabbits in the backyard, he every night, like, he does a perimeter check. So he'll go out and he'll pee, and then we have a fenced-in backyard, so he'll hit the whole fence line, come back, and then he's ready to come in. He's just double checking there's not one more back there. But he never gets them either. But it's fun watching him go.
For effort with these dogs.
Yeah. If we had land, I would totally do what you do, Becca, because that sounds so neat. Are you allowed to take them on public and do that?
Yeah, you can take them anywhere. Anywhere that hunting is legal.
Oh, that's so cool. Is there rabbit season?
Yeah, rabbit season runs from November 1st through the very last day of February. So it's like you get a whole month after deer season to just rabbit hunt.
See, that's probably the time. I'd be really mad if I was hunting a deer and a dog just, yeah. I mean.
Yeah, I don't usually rabbit hunt much until deer season's over.
Yeah.
I mean, if I see a rabbit while I'm deer hunting, I will shoot it. if the season's open. But other than that, I don't go out of my way really to rabbit hunt until deer season's over.
Yeah.
There was a time at the beginning of this last hunting season that I was seeing coyotes like crazy. Like I started looking up signs like, what does it mean when you see lots of coyotes in the daytime?
What is the answer? What was the answer?
I just got like a bunch of spiritual mumbo jumbo that like, it means that someone in your life is going to trick you or
oh something. My goodness.
It's like the coyote's a trickster. It was, yeah. I was like, I'm gonna stop reading this stuff. But, the first one that walked by me, I was like sitting there watching. I was just like amazed. I was like, oh my God, look at this coyote. It's like going everywhere. And I texted Ray and I was like, I saw a coyote. And he's like, why didn't you shoot it? I was like, I don't know. Why did I shoot it?
Never thought I should have totally shot it.
I was like, now I ain't gonna see no deer, shooting coyotes running all around this place. But
I've never seen one while I was hunting. However, one morning, and this is when I first started hunting, I didn't have anything but my bow on me either. And I was in a ground blind, and then one started howling, and then there was one like probably 20 yards to the right. Oh, Sarah, I almost choked myself out to just get out of the moment. But then there was another one behind me, and they like, I could hear them running, and then I can hear them just talking back and forth. It was terrifying. But I never had the opportunity to shoot one. I would, but I just don't see them. So I did see one on trail camera. I see them all the time in this one property I hunt, but there's a lot of trail camera pictures of them eating fawns. It's kind of, I know it's the,
yeah, yeah, it's an their, issue. It's a problem. That's why if you're trying to keep deer on your property, that coyotes are a problem.
I think their breeding season is really popular to hunt. I think that's like January, February, isn't it? I might be wrong.
Yeah, usually when it's really, really cold.
Yeah. But I think that's when
they get desperate. Yeah. Start baiting them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Becca, do you ever hunt a coyote? You ever been interested in it?
Yeah. When I was younger, when I still lived in New Jersey, I would, a bunch of my friends and I, we would hunt nighttime because, in the winter you can legally hunt them at night in New Jersey. And here it's pretty cool. Much,
you can always,
in Ohio, there's no closed season on coyotes. You can pretty much do what you want.
Yeah.
You hunt them at night, whatever. So I've shot a couple in New Jersey, and I've shot a bunch here in Ohio too. We have a lot here where I live in Ohio. Nice. We have a lot.
Oh yeah. The what was the hunting like in New Jersey compared to Ohio?
It was very similar. The deer are smaller, but there's a lot of deer. There was a lot of turkey, not as much as there was, but I mean, it was good. It's good.
Do you go turkey hunting every year?
I do.
She hunts everything every year.
In a while, but I try.
Turkey hunting is so fun when you can get them going. You know, do you use calls and such?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Isabella will do little calls.
Oh, really?
I love it. Yeah. She's.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's... So like people like put over Cam Haynes for like getting out there every day and doing his thing and running and shooting his bow every day. But Becca hunts every day, like actually hunts.
It's pretty gangster.
Every single day. Almost every single day. Like. What I don't know if it's like something you kind of motivate yourself to do or something that you just know that like, you know, if like going today, but you know, if you go, you're going to have fun. Like what gets you going to like hunt every day? Do you just have this like love for hunting that just can't be fulfilled and you just have to go out there and do it every day?
Just got to get the itch.
I would say maybe like a little bit of all of those things. When I first had Isabella, she was supposed to be born in October and she was born 8 weeks early in August.
Yeah.
So that whole first deer season with her, I really didn't get out much. Like I got out a couple times like mid season and I was breastfeeding. Yeah. She stopped taking a bottle. So I couldn't leave her with my husband. And when she was that tiny, I was like, oh, I can't really take her out with me. So like, I felt like I missed out a lot. And I felt kind of like there was that part of me, like I was missing out on. And so I just kind of went hardcore after that, after she got a little older.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do this with her. And I don't want to just like sit here and let my life go by without doing things that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And now that she's older, like she likes to do all this stuff too. So,
that's so cool.
Every day I try to go do like something for myself that she also enjoys. So that's kind of my motivation. I don't want to just like sit around all day and
I think a lot of people think that that has to be separate. That
yeah,
like,
yeah, good point. Because
a lot of people tell, like, what do you do for yourself? Or, like, what do you do for, like, you? Where you don't, or, like, you just go by yourself. And I'm like, and for a while I was like, what can I do by myself that, like, makes me happy? And for a while I was like, I don't want to do it by myself. I want to do it with my kid and my husband if he's home. Like, I should have just freaking talked to you, Becca. Like, it's a thing that I think a lot of moms don't understand, that, like, if you have a passion and you have something that, like, that freaking lights your buns on fire, like, take your kid to do it. Like, they should see that part of you.
Yeah.
Like, do you agree?
I don't know. I feel like a lot of times, especially first time moms, they're not getting that advice to, like, take your kid and just go do it. Like, I don't know if it's maybe like the older generation, just since they didn't do it as much, they're not telling their daughters to go do it. I don't know. But, like, no one told me to go do it. I thought that, like, oh, if I do this, I'm going to have to do it without her.
Yeah, yeah. That's not even a thought in your head. And, yeah.
And so in my mind, that was the picture I had in my mind when I was pregnant, that if I had a kid and I wanted to go hunting, they weren't going to be there. Like, I would have to leave her with someone. Mm-hmm. And then after she was born, I didn't want to leave her with someone.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So that's ultimately what made me make the decision to just take her with me and do everything I could with her.
I think my best advice for, like, first time moms, like, kind of going off this, is always try. Yeah. Like, if you want to do something, like, even if it's like, do you want to go out to eat, or do you want to take a walk, and you're nervous that, like, the kid's not going to like it, or the kid's going to freak out, or, like, the restaurant's going to blow up, whatever, just try. I always just try. I'm like, I'm going to go with this with no expectations, but I'm going to freaking try. And usually it works out.
After that first time, it's much easier. Like, it's wrapping your head around actually getting out to do it that first time. Cause I remember I was so nervous to do, like, anything with her when I first had her. Everything was scary. But then once you go out there and you do it one or two times, you're like, oh, it's not that bad. And then
it's superwoman after that.
Yeah. It just gets easier.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that, like, me seeing you hunt with Isabella was very, cause people can learn so much on your page, like, especially mom wise, because your page isn't focused on one thing. It's just your life, your daily life. You're like, I'm gardening today, I'm hunting today, I'm fishing today. So, like, it's very easy to kind of go through that and learn, like, cause you share when things, you know, go great and when things don't go so great. And I just felt very inspired to take Cash and like, hunting with a kid is something that, I mean, you've got a lot of flack for it. It's something that a lot of people think is dangerous. And a lot of people think is just asinine for you to even attempt to do. So, like, when I brought it up to Ray, like, hey, I'm going to go hunting with Cash. Like, look at this girl. Look how she does it. And Ray's like, oh, this is really cool. And I'm like, right. And then you have a lot of more people than you know. What's some of the flack you've gotten for hunting with Isabella?
Well, first off, I want to say thank you for being so nice. I always like to hear, like, if someone, like, sees my page and they're like, oh, I want to do that. Like, that makes me feel really good, because, like, I needed that at some point. So I'm glad I can be that for someone else.
Yeah. I think you're like that for lots of people. Like, if you look at your comments and stuff, you know, people are just, and a lot of women in, like, the trad bow world, like, they know who you are, you know?
Yeah. So,
well done. Kudos.
True.
I forget what your question. I forgot.
Oh, so I was about to jump in with another one. I know you get a lot of flack for hunting with a child, you know? And I would like to give you this opportunity to kind of shed some light on how it is safe and how it is amazing.
Oh, I mean, I don't think it's any more dangerous than, like, taking a child pretty much anywhere. It's not like, I mean, we're alone in the woods 99% of the time. No one's ever around. Mm-hmm. I stay away from places where I know there's going to be other hunters. I don't hunt public land during gun season. So basically I'm just taking my kid for a walk in the woods and I'm holding a bow. That's 99% of our hunts. That's literally all it is. It's like a nature walk.
You probably have more of a risk literally just driving in a car with your child.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Going to where you're going to hunt, not actually where you're hunting. Exactly. Kind of like the airport thing. Like,
yeah.
Exactly. No, like, I've never been in a situation or been in the woods where I felt like I was in danger or that she was in danger. Like, you just have to use common sense. Like, don't do anything stupid and you're going to be fine.
Right, right. I know the first time I hunted with cash, it was in gun season, but I was like, just to make myself feel better, I'm like, I'm going to put a little orange on on my carrier just for funsies.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you have to do something to make yourself feel like safer, even if you're not necessarily in a you're not dangerous situation, I mean, just do things that make you feel better. I feel like when I first started hunting with Isabella, I was like so afraid to do anything. Yeah. Like I wouldn't walk very far and I would like hunt for such short periods of time just because I was like, oh, what if something happens? But I mean, realistically, there's not much that can happen. And I mean, right, in Ohio, there's not like we have this giant list of predators.
Bears and...
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
even
your
like,
biggest danger is other humans. And I have never come across another hunter in the woods. I don't hunt areas where I know there's... Like, if I see someone parked somewhere, I won't hunt there.
Yeah, true.
Especially because you don't hunt during, like, gun season, which 90% of hunters
are doing drives and all kinds of stuff.
I do hunt during gun season, but only on private land. So I don't... I usually go, like, once or twice, but it's usually not really worth it. But this year... I did hunt opening day of gun season on private land and I saw a whole bunch of deer and it was funny because if I had had a gun, I could have tagged out, but I did not have a gun. So.
You're like, no.
Hey, before we
run out. I was actually thinking so about using a gun during gun season this year. If I am not closer to tagging out than I would like kind of want to be. So say I'm like 2 deer in of my 6 deer. I might, cause we're just trying to fill freezer. Right. Mm-hmm. And last year Ray got kind of, there was this huge buck on a property near here. And he's like, let's wait till after the rut to shoot does. And I was like, okay, he still will randomly apologize to me for that. We'll be sitting on the couch. He's like,
that would have made me mad.
Yeah. I was trying to be supportive, but he'll be like, I'm sorry. I told you not to shoot any does, and it'll be like a random Tuesday afternoon. And I'm like, it's really okay. Like it's fine. We're mission fill the freezer, you know, cause we're just eating our cows and our deer. So sorry, Tony, go ahead.
No, that's okay. So I had the opposite problem. I can't not shoot something that comes in front of me is one and two, before we run out of time. Becca, if you had to give one of your followers some advice on if they just want to start shooting, you know, trad, just for themselves, just without their child or anything like that, where do they start? Can you give just like a couple tips on what to do, what to buy, et cetera?
Yeah. So, I'm going to give basically the advice of what I did, because if you don't know anyone in the trad world that can teach you, if you do know someone, I would say that would be the best bet. Like one-on-one a lot of times is way easier than just trying to figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
But I didn't know anyone. Well, I did, but my dad lived 600 miles away. He used to trad hunt before I was born. But anyway, I would say find a place that carries trad bows. If there's no local place near you, which most places don't carry traditional equipment anymore. I know like Bass Pro and stuff. Don't go there because they won't really know anything. If you have like a small mom and pop shop that carries traditional equipment and someone that knows what they're doing, try that. But if you don't have that either, I would suggest Three Rivers Archery, which is where I got like all of my equipment to start traditional bow hunting. They have a great team up there. You can call and tell them like what's your budget, what you have in mind, whether you want to be a hunter, whether you want to just target shoot, and they can get you set up with equipment that will fit you and that's in your budget and everything like that. As far as actually like getting into it shooting wise, I would say don't overthink it. There are like a billion different ways to actually shoot traditional. Some of them are a little newer than others, I guess. If you talk to some of the people that are like older in traditional archery, they're very set in their ways and they're saying like, you can only shoot this way or this way, and this is the right way, this is the wrong way. You just need to find a way that you shoot well and stick to that and be consistent and not worry about what everyone else is going to tell you. And just make sure that it's fun for you. And that's pretty much it. It's not as complicated as a lot of people want to make it complicated, and it's not. It's not complicated at all. Yeah.
And there's so much information on YouTube these days. Like, yeah, there's not too many things that you can't learn.
Exactly.
I mean, the first.
The Roseborg Podcast is brought to you by 330 Archery. 330 Archery specializes in handcrafting arrows designed for you and your bow. The special care guarantees that your arrow will not let you down when you need it most. Perfection is their obsession. Perfection is 330 Archery.
I feel dressed a deer. I was watching a Steve Rinella video that I had to pause like 10 times because I spent all my time learning how to shoot, and then I didn't know how to field dress it. I didn't even have a knife. And it was terrible, but goodness for that.
Years ago, I actually guided in Kentucky for a while. I was a whitetail guide.
Cool.
I remember during youth season, there was this guy that brought his son up for his first deer hunt. And youth season was like, I don't remember if it was a weekend or a week long. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. His son was like 6 or 7 and he got his first deer. And I walk out there, it's nighttime. I'm out there with the spotlight. We find the deer and everything. And I'm helping him drag it back. And I was like, oh, do you want to like field dress it here? Or he was like, I don't know how to field dress a deer. And he was like this middle-aged man who'd been hunting all of his life and he'd never field dressed a deer. And I was shocked. I was like, are you serious? Like I was
especially
nice
because he's been hunting all his life. Like, how do you get away with that?
He always just brought it to like the butcher or whatever. So I feel
just intact.
I did it for him.
I stand back, dude.
Good for you. Yeah, really. Give me your knife.
Yeah. But it's funny. Like you come across these people that they don't know how to do it, and that they've been hunting for a long time, and they don't like. There's these things that some people just they never learn.
I'm a big fan of the grip and rip method. When I can gut a deer super quick,
so fast.
Yeah, same here. Yep. Well, I mean, it's kind of simple. You just take out everything you don't want to eat. It's not that hard.
That's a great way to look at it.
Start from the top and work your way down. You know,
one time I field dressed a deer when I was like 8 months pregnant, and we're on this kind of where if you can kind of do it downhill so the blood kind of rushes down, and so when you're bent over and you're pregnant, you can't breathe. Just, so I would have to it was like I was swimming. I'd be like, and I'd bend down and like get the deer and be like, because Ray was like, you want me to gut this deer? And I was like, don't insult me in front of everyone. Gut my own deer. Thank you very much.
I'm sure you finished it too, didn't you?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. It was the deer had like breast milk though. It made me sad.
Oh,
like,
I remember you saying that.
It's so pregnant. The little, it was the first deer I got that was like lactating. I was like, what timing? What timing?
Yeah, that's okay. Hey, so Sarah, we're about at time. You want to go ahead and ask?
Yeah. So we asked a question at the end, and we kind of try to tailor it to the person, which is you. So if you could give one piece of advice to a hunter, doesn't have to be trad or compound specific, what would it be?
Oh, you put me on the spot here.
One.
Oh yeah. We're counting.
Give me two.
And we're counting
Don't
the
give
seconds
me three.
Too.
I don't know.
how about learn how to field dress your deer?
Yeah, that too.
I think
what about
what
safety?
Said,
what
like
about
the,
safety
the,
related?
What about what?
What about hunting safety?
Hunting safety related. I don't know. I was not ready for this question.
it's kind of a thing where sometimes it's good if you surprise people. Cause they're like, oh, I never thought of that. But I think we can go back and kind of like the don't overthink it part. Like Tony was talking about how there's so much information on YouTube, which is good that it's there. But again, there's so much information on YouTube. Like for instance, me and Ray will start hunting. And then he's like, hey, I watched this video on YouTube and this ranch fair guy and da 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 da. And I was like, but what we were doing before was just fine. I don't know why we're doing
that's what
stuff.
We do.
You and Ray just freaking all day sending each other stuff.
Oh yeah. Last question, real quick. Sorry. What broadhead do you shoot?
I shoot Woodsman 3-blade.
Got it. Roger
Ooh,
that.
3.
Cool.
Is it a fixed?
Yeah, because I have I shoot the wood shaft arrows.
Super traditional.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, wrap it up, Sarah.
All right, Becca, thank you so much. Sorry we put you on the spot.
It's okay.
Apologize. But it was great having you on here. You're the first guest of the, I think you're our first
hunting guest.
Definitely our first traditional bow hunting guest. So thank you for coming on.
Oh no.
I know that you're very busy. She is pregnant with her second baby.
Congratulations.
So. Thank you.
Do you know what you're having yet?
Girl.
Twofer?
Two girls.
Yeah. Oh shoot.
Your husband ain't gonna know what there's lots of estrogen flowing through the house.
I am in that same situation, and I had to get two male animals, a male cat and a male dog, to balance it out.
We have a male dog.
There you get one
but
more.
But we also have a female dog, too. So.
Ooh, sounds like two more male animals are in the horizon.
I wanted another girl.
Good. And you should. Girls are fun.
Me and Ray are going to start trying here for too long, and I would like a girl. I would like – Cash looks so much like Ray. I was like, I would like a little mini Sarah. Speaking of looking like, I think you and Isabella look so alike until I see your husband.
See, that's what everyone says. They think that she looks like me until they see him. And they're like, no, looks like him.
Yes. I was like, oh my God. I even showed Ray. I was like, look. He was like, whoa. I was like, yeah.
Well, they say most girls look just like their dad.
And I think it's like that whole firstborn thing. I think it was vital for the kids, you know, safety and well-being to look like the father, because obviously the mother can't not claim the child because it came out of her, but the father, like Ray, could not unclaim Cash.
Yeah.
Your husband could not say he's not Isabella's father. They look just alike. So
yeah, that's the saying. That's like the legend or old wives' tale that the baby comes out looking like the dad. So the dad knows it's his and will claim it.
All right, well, thank you so much. I'm just calling you Isabella. Thank you so much, Becca, for coming on the show. Tell Isabella we said hi and that I'm a big fan of hers, and I hope to see her. I love seeing her journey, and I can't wait to see more. Thank you so much for being on.
Thanks for having me on.
Talk to you guys soon.
The Rose Bork Podcast is brought to you by Rose Bork, where family, farm, and fitness all come first. Make sure you join our email list for the most up-to-date exclusive content. The link to this list is in the description. Also, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us a follow, shared our story, and left an honest review.